Do you guys know how hard it is to do a pull-up when you're my size? It's not easy, right? I've been trying to do one, over and over again, developing muscles that I had no idea I even needed to do pull-ups. I don't know why the lower part of my chest is hurting, the lower part of my back, weird muscles that I never work out, right? But I moved some stuff around recently, so now I have a lot of room in this studio for my workout equipment, and I've been trying to do pull-ups. I got half of one done, and that's it. But I try and try over and over again in the hopes that I'm developing the right muscles in the right place, which it seems to be. I seem to be making progress. It's about day three. Welcome back to the Meatweed Podcast, where if I sound out of breath, in between takes, I work out a bit. Also, I have no idea what's going on this week because, unfortunately, all of my brain processing power has been taken over by the YouTube channel where I was learning esoteric memes. And it's as difficult as it sounds. Esoteric memes are so weird, right? People, you mention esoteric memes, they think, what, you're learning witchcraft? No, I'm learning memes about witchcraft. Does that make any sense? Absolutely not. It makes no fucking sense. And funny enough, that's the point. Exactly. Yeah, it makes no fucking sense. Anyway, I'm going to move on before I have a fucking stroke. Anyway. I want to apologize two weeks ago. The previous episode of the podcast, because it was back to the 30-minute episodes. In my defense, it was Thanksgiving. I had family over. Come on. Like, why else would I cut the episode short? When do I do that? I rarely ever do. Because the thing is, these episodes of the podcast are very easy to do. Unlike the YouTube channel, which takes some fucking effort, this one, I'm just talking, right? I'm just chilling here, talking, possibly have a beer or two. I say possibly because not often. It's a bad habit, let's face it. And that's it, really. I just talk. Like, I'll have a subject in mind, sure. But I guess what I could do here is talk a little more about what I saw when I was studying esoteric memes. Because the thing is, as mentioned in the video, like, there's a guy that does the whole thing, right? Esoteric meme breakdown. And he goes into hell of details regarding the videos that he makes, the every last bit, every little detail of the meme, right? He breaks it down to the point where not only do you understand what's going on, you learn something new, right? And it's not a small thing that he's doing, right? Because every single thing you need to learn on the meme, like about this esoteric meme, is on the meme. Like, you could find words, Google them, and then it'll start sending you down more and more rabbit holes to the point where not only do you understand the meme, you've learned something new, and you're a better person for it. I feel like learning, no matter what age you are, okay? It does not matter if you're a little kid, if you're 7 years old, or 70. You are never going to stop learning. There is too much knowledge in the world, and the truth is, the pursuit of knowledge is endless, right? I've said that before in this podcast. It really is endless. I'm not even in school anymore. I'm not in college anymore. I'm not in any form of study, but I still study. I read books. I do all this shit, right? And yet, there's no grade. There's no point of it. There's nothing. There's no reward after. The reward is the knowledge itself. I love learning shit, right? I have a book here that I bought. David Grand's The Wager, based on a shipwreck and mutiny murder. You know, like, I'm reading the title. it's about an actual boat called The Wager. Now, why would I read that? Because it's awesome, that's all. Learning stuff is sick, honestly. Not always. Let me be blunt. I have this book here, The Myth of Sisyphus and Other Essays by Albert Camus. Fucking boring, I'm sorry. Like, I know some philosophy majors punching their keys right now going, ooh, you just don't get it. No, I get it. There's just not much to get. You know? Like, imagine Sisyphus happy. There we go. Is that your fucking big stance? Congrats. I get it. It's boring, but I get it. I'm gonna get so many fucking emails. I'm not even joking. I already have it set to not even spam filter, but certain words. And luckily, I think they finally listened, right? You guys remember some episodes ago, I mentioned that, hey, I don't want to interact with you if you're this or that. I do like people coming on the show and we talk about stuff, but I don't like it when it's like pseudoscience and all this other stuff. And a lot of these people are reaching out to me trying to get on the podcast. Guess what? You're not gonna. But they finally stopped. The emails have stopped. thank God, I was so tired of that. Regarding the esoteric meme video, as I was doing research, there is something else I came across that unfortunately I will not be making a video on, simply because of the fact that there's no way to talk about it without it being controversial. It is dangerous, right? Now, I'm going to sit here and describe it on the podcast, and you have been warned. There are corners of the internet. While you're finding esoteric memes, you're going to find a lot of people that unfortunately are not mentally well. And a lot of them will post things, and it looks crazy. I'm sorry to say the word, but it really does look insane. But realistically, what you're seeing is people with manic episodes. It's called schizo posting because some of them, not all of them, have schizophrenia. Others just have mental problems or delusions of some kind, and they're having an episode as they record. Because of that, there's a lot of stuff going on in their head that is not actually there, but they're recording as if it was there. You know, to them, this is reality. But to us, we're seeing it from the perspective of someone who's sound of mind. So we see this and we think, oh, well, that's terrifying, really. It's sad. It's really sad. What got me, though, what fucking got me, is that there are people in the comments encouraging this. I'm not even joking. There are people doing schizo posts and, you know, like schizo talk. There's all, I don't like using the term, right? These terms are, that's what it was given. Schizo this, schizo that. It's not schizophrenia. It's manic episodes being recorded. There are people in the comments fucking encouraging this stuff. That is the worst thing to do when you're having an episode. Because if you're encouraged, you're going to think, oh, maybe there's some merit to it. Oh, thank God someone else sees it too. And you've just confirmed your bias. Your bias being something that's not even there. It's not easy to talk about because so many people talk about mental problems in a derogatory term. And it's so fucked up, right? This is why I didn't want to talk about it on the YouTube channel. It's just, it's a little much, you know? It's a lot. Fuck, dude. And it hurts to see because, unfortunately, I used to deal with, not stuff like this, right? But I used to work with patients that had these issues. So I see this and I see the comments and my first instinct when I saw the comments was to out loud say, what the fuck are you doing? And obviously they can't hear me online, right? These people are on the internet with anonymous pages. They don't give a damn about human life or themselves. And it's kind of sad. It's really sad. Because it was so fucking hard to talk about, I had to leave. You know, I had to get off that side of the internet. Any adult in this world knows that there is darkness within it. But sometimes we're sheltered from said darkness, you know? We live our lives in a bubble, not realizing we're in a bubble. Once we venture out of it, we realize that we were safe in the bubble, and we go right back in it. Others, not so much. But to see it in person, to see it firsthand, I don't like it. I still think about it. It's kind of sad. Not kind of. It's fucking sad, dude. This is a tragedy. Some of them were fucking bad. Like, one of them was a schizophrenic mother yelling for her daughter, not knowing that her daughter was now in her 30s and lived outside, you know, somewhere else. Not only schizophrenia, okay? Let's not say schizophrenia. Dementia. That's what it is. It's dementia. People whose minds have, with age, begun to turn. Or some of them drug use, actually. There's actually some people that, unfortunately, because they were so hopped up on drugs, they have begun to see delusions. And essentially, it's just people hallucinating, having episodes, or some sort of dementia-ridden influence. You know, like, you see people at their worst, at their saddest, at their most ill. And it's sad. It's just tragedy. Because there's something about it that people are obsessed with seeing, right? Because what I noticed wasn't the amount of people commenting, it's the amount of people that were not commenting. Specifically because they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to be associated with it. But you could tell by the number of views that a lot of people were watching and just not saying anything. That's sad. It's really sad. I want to get off this topic. I don't want to think about it too much. Or rather, I could talk about the positive parts in order to cancel it out. Because amongst the comments, amongst all the encouragement, there were some people that really stood out. Not for anything terrible they did. This is the exact opposite. These unsung heroes, there were some people that decided they had access to the person making the videos. They were able to contact, you know, authorities, or they were able to contact family members and get these people the help they deserve. There are some people that I may not believe in a higher power like as much as I used to, but how could you not when people decide, enough is enough. And they're the ones that step in. Unsung heroes. They don't want credit. They just want to help someone. It's beautiful, man. Seeing people in the comments, not too many, but all it takes is one person to step up and do something and actually get the person to help. Because that person, whether they knew it or not, just might have saved a life. And it's beautiful seeing that, right? Amongst all the chaos and shit on the internet, amongst all the negativity, there's still people that come out and say, no, fuck that. I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to go against them. I'm going upstream. And I'm doing the exact opposite of what everyone around me is telling me. That's the kind of person that I admire. I can never really... Again, they're unsung heroes. But, I don't know, maybe tweet every now and then. Maybe chirp a song. But, I don't know, man. It's just... I've been thinking about one person in particular. But it was a video I saw years ago where somebody actually was able to reach out to a person having a manic episode, posting it online. This one in particular was pretty bad, just based on the fact that it wasn't a video, it was a live stream. It was a person actually going mental. This wasn't a big case by any means. This was essentially like a small live stream, like 20 people watching, and somehow I found myself on there. I don't know how the Instagram algorithm works, but I guess it was enough. You know, you could see comments saying, hey, I know this street. And they were able to call people to get the person help. They were just going crazy, right? Basically saying they were seeing delusions. I shouldn't call them crazy. That's mean. Okay. But basically, all I'm saying is it's not all doom and gloom. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's a beautiful shining light. These people are seriously a beacon in the pile of shit. It's beautiful. You know, sometimes you believe in humanity's good side when you see that. Anyway, moving on from that topic, the other stuff that I've been studying is actually, there's a lot, honestly. The thing about memes is you got to be careful, right? When you make a video about them, you can't discuss one in particular. I know a lot of people keep quoting the 6-7 meme in my fucking video of how a meme dies. That video is still getting views. And recently, the esoteric meme one has been getting views too, which, you know, thank you all for that. Also, I had a person watching earlier today, actually, as I'm recording this. But yesterday, as I was recording a live stream, a person came into the comments and said, hey, we like your voice. You know, like, where's your microphone? And first off, thank you. Oh, my God. I love that. You know, thank you. That really did make my... That really did cheer me up. So I put on a microphone, you know, for them. You know, do it all for the fans. And the video that I posted to the live stream that I posted today was actually a result of somebody the other day asking, does this game that you're always playing have a story mode? And I realized I've never shown the story mode. And it was exciting because a lot of people started coming in and watching, some of them coming and leaving, but they would always come back. And, you know, it's like 10, 15 views. A lot of people started coming in. And I love that because the difference between a YouTube video and a live stream is the views are more direct. If that makes any sense. A YouTube video, you can click and you can play in the background and ignore it, right? A live stream, you put it on. Hang on. Stomach's acting up, sorry. You put on a live stream and you're there watching it, right? It's a direct interaction. The person you are watching can react with you, you know, can talk to you. When people start making money on live streams, it's actually because there's so many people watching that if you just type in the chat, well, hundreds of other people just typed in the chat too. They all said the same thing or they all asked a question, but that's when other people start coming in and like, hey, if I pay a dollar, it'll be on the top. And that's when that starts, you know, piling on. That's when people start making money doing that. I'm not there yet, but I can honestly see it in the future, which is nice. It's nice. It's a bit of optimism and I love it. Thank you all very much for the support. I do have some videos that I have in mind that I'm not too sure about, just based on the fact that it was already a podcast episode years ago. But now that new fans are coming into the channel, I could probably, you know, I could probably talk about it again. Oh my God, that'd be so good. That'd be such a good idea. One of those ranting videos where it's just me talking. But then again, some people like the visuals, other people hate them. I really don't know. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, really. It's hard because I have to split my attention between this... This podcast and the YouTube channel and a full-time job. Sometimes I have more free time, sometimes I don't. It really depends on the season. In the summer, good fucking luck uploading a video. That's all I'm saying. But it's currently winter. It's a down season. It's very slow. But there's still work. So I'm kind of happy about it. But at the same time, it's like, damn, dude, I got bills. That's all. But honestly, you could probably hear my nose getting a little stuffy. I don't know what is causing it either. It only comes up when I start recording. And it bugs the crap out of me. All right, I had to stop recording for a bit to see what was up with my nose. Now it's my throat. Oh, that's great. That's lovely. Does anyone know how to fix a garage? I'm asking for a friend. Anyway, looking... Jesus, my eyes. There's so much stuff going on right now. You know what? Is it allergy season? No, you know what it is? We have a recent cold front here in the valley, and it's freezing, right? Like, here in California, I live in the Central Valley. Like, I won't specify where, but just know I don't live in the rich part of California. Hell no. I live in the middle. Big part in the middle. I've been getting a lot of weird TikTok videos that, for some reason, I have this glitch where it's like, I'll click on a video or I'll scroll and a video will come up and it'll be paused and it'll say video is no longer available. And then it'll play. I don't understand what's going on. I've already reset the app, updated it, deleted cache memory, doing all that stuff. I guess it's just on my phone or something's up. But it's weird to be seeing it because no one else has that problem, it seems. Or at the very least, I haven't seen anyone talk about it. Another thing I've been doing too is I know a lot of people were talking about how I kept doing splatter painting. No one's asked about that recently, so I'm pretty sure that means no one really missed it. Having said that, there were paintings sold, so, you know, the people that got them were satisfied, I guess. I have a triangular canvas. I don't know what colors to put on there, but I've recently been experimenting with a color wheel to get, like, contrasting colors, right? So I can get the right ones. And what I realized is I don't have many colors left, so it's a small canvas, luckily. But the canvases that I do have, I have a lot of art pieces that I've started and not finished. Like, I've gotten halfway through one of them. I'm so upset because I started on it. I had a great start. I went back over it with a different kind of brush and a different kind of paint, and it just fucked everything up. So I'm like, oh god, now it has the texture of lizard skin. It was a human eyeball and it got all fucked up. Now it looks like a human eyeball if the body was rotting. Like, it looks bad. It looks really bad. So I had to stop and I thought, well, how do I fix this? I can't now. I can't. The worst part is it's an expensive canvas. That's the problem. Found a really badass video, right? I know I was talking negative earlier about how I was watching schizo posts and I was learning the comments. All that stuff, right? When it comes to Instagram Reels, you're in a lawless wasteland. And I really mean that because Facebook Reels and Instagram Reels overlap. Because, you know, they're both owned by Meta. Who the fuck calls it Meta, by the way? The amount of videos you get is interesting, right? Because if it's not something that you're looking for, it's something you definitely want. The app knows what you want and it knows how to keep you hooked. I just learned that 20 zip ties is really all it takes to stop a car. Like, if you chain it up with 20 zip ties to something else, it'll most likely hold it in place. 20. Not even a full pack, right? A full pack is 100. And what's crazier, too, is they decided, okay, 20 did it, right? Where it held it and then eventually it broke. Let's do 30. They did 30 zip ties. They started revving this truck to the point where it started wheeling and it would still hold it in place. That's fucking awesome. I did not, like, 30? And the thing is, he revved it until the wheel started smoking, right? And the engine was going real hard. Didn't move. Didn't break. That's so sick, dude. 30 zip ties is all it took. This is like the little cheap Harbor Freight ones, too. 30 zip, god damn, dude. You really don't know how strong plastic is until you really start fucking upping the ante, I guess. And it had good grip, too. That's the thing I mentioned. The tires had good grip. You know, it wasn't some, like, low-ball, cheapo, like, ball tires. Like, that's one way to cheat the system, right? Where it's like, okay, well, obviously it's not going to break because it's not good grip, right? This had full grip. There was weight on the back of the truck. It held. I'm impressed. Sometimes Meta does show you stuff that you do want to see. And it's funny because it's like, I just want to brag about it, to be honest. Just looking at it going, hey, this was on my account. I want to show you guys. But you won't see that unless you have me on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. I never link it, by the way. It's the same name, Meatweed Podcast. What the fuck else is going to come up, right? I'm not that popular that there's copycats. Just knowing that, you know. It is liberating in a way where when you're still niche. I'm at the point where more people are starting to learn my name thanks to YouTube and subscribers coming in. I am noticing an influx of, like, bot accounts. It's kind of annoying, but at the same time, I'm not going to question it. YouTube has had a lot of AI integration. You know how I feel about that? I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's just kind of like, come on, man. You know? That's all I could say about that, really.
I noticed a phenomenon recently.
Not even recent. I think it's been a while now.
But I wanted to talk about it in the podcast just because, like, what the hell else? Where the hell else am I going to talk about it, right? But it's funny and sad at the same time. Reddit has, like, this obsession with TikTok, which I know, if you're employed, makes no sense. like me, right? But the thing is, it's sad. Like, you go to the popular page on Reddit, all you see are, like, TikTok cringe, TikTok this. It's like, if you're so embarrassed by them, then stop fucking watching them. Like, you realize you're still posting them, right? You could make fun of them all you want, but at the end of the day, if you're posting them, then that's on you. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're going out searching for these, right? And, like, dude, what the fuck? Get their dick out of your mouth, I guess, you know, if you're so upset with it. Like, it's embarrassing to me, like, that all these pages exist. Also, recently, because I enjoy the art community on Reddit, recently all of their mods quit because of one guy. And what's funny is, it's like, you're not being paid, dude. No one likes you, period. Like, no one likes Reddit mods. I see Reddit mods the same way I see, like, people that were bullied in high school and have no power, you know? Like, now that they have some taste of power, all of a sudden they're like, we're gonna abuse the fuck out of it. And it's so funny because these guys all just quit because they were getting a little bit of backlash. And it's the funniest thing ever. People kept posting that picture of the chef, the meme from Ratatouille, where the chef is like, gets criticized once, fucking dies. Like, they can't handle pressure when it's finally being applied to them. They just want unseen power, you know? They want it, but they can't handle it when things get a little too hot, you know? Still funny to me. And yet, what it ended up doing was backfiring, because it was one person who posted an art piece that they're really good, by the way. I forget their name. Let me look them up. I know the moment I open Twitter, they're probably going to be the first thing that comes up. But it's just so damn funny to me, because it's like, you didn't need to do all that. You know what I mean? Like, all they had to do was not fucking ban this one artist, and they would have been just fine. Hayden Clay is his name. Oh my god, I could not find him on Twitter. But his art is really good. Like, I don't, the fact that they banned him from r/art, you know what? Fuck those mods. Those guys suck. He made stained glass traffic cones. These are really good. Clear messages. It's like it's a mailbox with like stained glass. Just look him up. Look him up. Hayden Clay on Twitter. Really, really good art pieces. New stained glass tomorrow. Oh, sweet. Can't wait to see it. I thought they were paintings. You telling me it just looks like that? Nah, they gotta be paintings. They gotta be, right? Dude, how do you do this shit? Hang on, he's got his own website. Let me look into it more. Hayden Clay, that's his name. You know what? You guys look into him. I love him. I'm just gonna look at him for a bit. I love it. He inspires me, okay? He's really inspiring. I'm even more inspired now, because what the fuck do you mean these are photos? How? How are they photos? How the fuck did you do that? That's just impressive. Dude, go look up his shit now. Turn off this fucking shitty ass podcast. Go watch some art. What am I doing with my life? No one cares about art. Like, I don't know where that was the whole time. That man is a masterpiece, what he did. Jesus fucking Christ. I'm impressed. Let me dick ride for a sec. I was looking at how he did it. I thought it was all digital or something, but no, that is, dude, like, I don't know how you make those images, but keep it up. Holy shit. Hats off. From a mediocre artist looking at a fucking god, I'm assuming. I'm at a loss for words. At this point, I mean, it's a podcast. I really should say something, but I'm at a loss for words. Go check him out. Just go check him out. All right? I already mentioned his name several times. If you didn't hear it by now, go back and listen to it. Go check him out, please. I just scratched a mole off my arm. Whoops. Like, as I was talking, I just scratched it. I'm looking around for it now. Gross. Ow, my arms.
Anyway, I had this idea for a video. It's not going to be a short video like my other ones on YouTube. It's probably going to be like 2 hours long, to be honest. And it's not a commentary. It's actually me going out and recording footage. The problem is I'd need some heavier hardware for that, right? Because at this point in YouTube, I'm doing okay, like view-wise. I like where I'm at. But if I'm being honest, bigger projects are going to take a lot more money. You know what I mean? Like, my computer is old, very old. I spent a decent amount of money on it. It's a MacBook Pro. And when I first got it, it was... how long ago was this? Jesus, I was still back over the road. So I was still over the road. I haven't been over the road for... 5 years now? Yeah, 5 years. So this computer's not even that old then. What the hell am I saying? Yeah, I could probably do it. I've never really pushed this thing to its limit, you know? I'm definitely starting to now that YouTube is getting up there. According to iMovie, I have 40 movies or 40 videos that I've made on this thing. I don't recall making that many, but I guess I have. A lot of which I've deleted. I know they say you're supposed to save a copy of your, like, original videos. I don't care. I'm going to delete it, you know? Especially some of the older ones. There are some that are not deleted, but they are now private. So if you want to see them, you have to DM me. You have to let me know, and I'll send you a link. Mainly because they show my face on them, and just with the amount of people that have been coming into the comment section, a lot of bots, a lot of stuff, a lot of bullshit, you know? I had to deal with it, and I'd rather just them not have my face. I don't know. I mean, I'm not ashamed of my face. I just rather would not be identified out in public. I have this feeling where it's like, I see a big number on my name, and now I think, shit, you know, like, I go out in public, I'm like, does he know who I am? Like, I'd rather not, you know? Like, obviously, a lot of people nearby are not going to know who I am. 1,000 people in a world of millions is not much. But, I mean, you go to a place where there's 1,000 people, look at them and think that's a small number, you know? You think of 1,000 living, breathing human beings. That's a fuck ton of people. That's a lot of people. And I'm still processing it mentally because every time I go to check my subscriber count, it goes up a little bit. Even more when I upload. So unfortunately, I think I've been bitten by the creativity bug because they... Excuse me. Oh, my heartburn has been bad lately. I've been stressing, just thinking about stuff. I think it has to do with YouTube. Like, the number went up and I thought, dude, I was comfortable with no one watching me. And I'm thankful, right? I'm thankful for all these people that came in, but at the same time, I didn't expect it overnight. Like, overnight, basically, you know? Like, I see it, I'm like, oh shit, what do I do now? The floodgates have opened. It's a little flood, but I got a taste of the water, and now I want to go swimming, I guess. What the fuck does that mean? What am I saying? I made the metaphor. It means I like how the numbers went up, and all these comments coming in. I love that they were interacting with the videos. Also, Esoteric Memes has been going up in views. I don't know if that one's going to do the same thing. The last time I had a video that went viral, the snowball effect that happened wasn't immediate. It was after a few days of uploading, or after a few days of it being up, the views started going up and up and up, and it didn't stop. It's still to this day going. It went from 10 to 100 to 1,000. To 7,000, to 8,000, to 20,000, to 30,000. Every time I checked, I thought, holy shit, there's another 1,000. You know, every time. This is huge for me, okay? This has never happened for me. I'm still talking about it. This is 3 episodes later, and I'm still fucking talking about it. I won't shut up. I will not shut up. I'm not even joking. Having said that, I need another one. Like, that is... Fuck. I just thought of that. That was a hit of dopamine that I haven't felt in a while. And I don't know if that's a good thing. It's a level of excitement I've never felt before. But at the same time, I am just staring at these numbers going up thinking, well, how do I make them go higher? It's like a game. You know, it's like I've been playing slots for years and I finally hit a mini jackpot. Like a mini one, right? Not a big one, but just enough to get you hooked. I think that's how YouTube works. Oh, shit, that makes sense. So I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm out of stuff to talk about. Like, out of everything, I think I've done everything. I really have no idea what else to talk about. Like, I could look up subjects. Sure, I could do that. But, like, dude, I'm, like, out of stuff to talk about. Like, this week,
because, you know, the holiday season, all kinds of stuff, right? My mind's occupied. So I really have just been focusing on the YouTube channel. My burps hurt a little. Fuck, what was I going to do? I know there's this thing that I thought was really funny. You know what? I remember now. Okay, I remember years ago I saw this and I thought, it can't be that good. But there was this guy that took a picture of his grandpa because he gave him a tablet and he looked up Wikipedia. He looked up concrete and he said, I gave him the Wikipedia for concrete and he's been reading it for hours. It cannot be that good, right? So I decided to pull it up and start reading it verbatim, like the whole thing. This is the Wikipedia article for concrete, okay? The entire thing. By the way, stop asking me to donate. Anyway, we're going to try to do the whole thing. I mean, every single thing, too, like every tab, etymology, history. Jesus, it is long. All right. Anyway, bear with me. You know me. When I start reading, I start fucking shit up. Anyway. Fuck, I'm really doing this. Okay. Concrete is a composite material composed of aggregate bound... composed of aggregate bound together with a fluid cement that cures to a solid over time. It is the second most used substance after water, the most widely used building material, and the most manufactured material in the world. I'm really doing this. Okay. When aggregate is mixed with dry Portland cement and water, the mixture forms a fluid slurry that can be poured and molded into shape. The cement reacts with the water through a process called hydration, which hardens it after several hours to form a solid matrix that binds the materials together into a durable stone-like material with various uses. This time allows concrete to not only be cast into forms, but also to have a variety of tooled processes performed. The hydration process is exothermic, which means that ambient temperature plays a significant role in how long it takes concrete to set. Often, additives such as pozzolans or superplasticizers are included in the mixture to improve the physical properties of the wet mix. Let's see here. Delay or accelerate the curing time, or otherwise modify the finished material. Oh, I read that wrong. Most structural concrete is poured with reinforced materials such as steel rebar, embedded to provide tensile strength, yielding reinforced concrete. How did this guy read this for hours? Before the invention of Portland cement in the early 1800s, lime-based cement binders, such as lime putty, were often used. The overwhelming majority of concretes are produced using Portland cement, but sometimes with other hydraulic cements, such as calcium aluminate cement. Never heard of that, Glenn. Many other non-cementitious types of concrete exist with other methods of binding aggregate together, including asphalt concrete with bitumen binder, which is frequently used for road surfaces, and polymer concretes that use polymers as a binder. By the way, I actually work with that stuff. Concrete is distinct from mortar, whereas concrete is itself a binding material and contains both coarse or large and fine small aggregate particles. Mortar contains only fine aggregates and is mainly used as bonding agents to hold bricks, tiles, and other masonry units together. Excuse me.
Oh, fuck.
Do you guys hear my voice right now? That's weird. Grout is another material associated with concrete and cement. How the fuck did they read this for hours? It also does not contain coarse aggregates and is usually either pourable or thixotropic, that's a cool word, and is used to fill gaps between masonry components or coarse aggregate which has already been put in place. Some methods of concrete manufacture and repair involve pumping grout into the gaps to make up a solid mass in situ. What's that thing? Thixotropy is a time-dependent shear thinning property. Okay, that's all. The etymology of concrete. I'm really reading this whole thing. The word concrete comes from the Latin word concretus, meaning compacted or condensed. The perfect passive particle of concrete from con together and crescere. What the fuck, etymology? Latin is weird. The history of concrete, ancient times.
concrete floors were found in the royal palace of Tiryns, Greece. The royal palace, okay. Which dates roughly to 1400 to 1200 BC. Lime mortars were used in Greece, such as in Crete and Cyprus in 800 BC. The Assyrian Jerwan Aqueduct in 688 BC was made using waterproof concrete. Concrete was used for construction in many ancient structures. My mouth is like wet and dry at the same time. I don't know what's going on. Mayan concrete and the ruins of Zumal, AD 850-925, is referenced in Incidents of Travel in the Yucatan by John L. Stevens. The roof is flat and had been covered with cement. The floors were cement, in some places hard, but by long exposure, broken and now crumbling under the feet. But throughout the wall was solid and consisting of large stones embedded in mortar, almost as hard as rock. Why was that hard to say? Small-scale production of concrete-like materials was pioneered by the Nabatean traders who occupied and controlled a series of oases and developed a small empire in the regions of southern Syria and northern Jordan from the 4th century BC. They discovered the advantages of hydraulic lime, with some self-cementing properties by 700 BC. They built kilns to supply mortar for the construction of rubber masonry houses, concrete floors, and underground waterproof cisterns. They kept the cisterns secret as these enabled the Nabataeans to thrive in the desert. Some of these structures survive to this day. In the Roman era, builders discovered that adding volcanic ash to lime allowed the mix to sit underwater. That's actually fucking sick, I didn't know that. They discovered the pozzolanic reaction. And here are pictures of it. Oh, obviously, I can't show you that. The Romans used concrete extensively from 300 BC to AD 476. Damn. During the Roman Empire, Roman concrete, was made from quicklime, pozzolana, and an aggregate of pumice. What the hell's pumice? Ain't that the shit you dip bread in? That's hummus. It's widespread use in many Roman structures. A key event in the U.S. history? The key event in the history of architecture, termed the Roman Architectural Revolution, freed Roman construction from the restrictions of stone and brick materials. It enabled revolutionary new designs in terms of both structural complexity and dimension. The Colosseum in Rome was built largely of concrete, and the Pantheon has the world's largest unreinforced concrete dome. Concrete, as the Romans knew it, was a new and revolutionary material, laid in the shape of arches, vaults, and domes. It quickly hardened into a rigid mass, free from many of the internal thrusts and strains that troubled the builders of similar structures in stone or bricks. It's kind of cool. Modern tests show that, the Roman pronunciation for the concrete, opus cementitium, my fucking furniture started floating, had a similar compressive strength to modern Portland cement concrete. However, due to the absence of reinforcement, its tensile strength was far lower than modern reinforced concrete, and its mode of application also differed. See this one here. Modern structural concrete differs from Roman concrete in two important details. First, its mix consistency is fluid and homogeneous, allowing it to be poured into forms rather than requiring hand layering together with the placement of aggregate, which in Roman practice often consists of rubble. Second, integral reinforcing steel gives modern concrete assemblies great strength and tension, whereas Roman concrete could depend only upon the strength of the concrete bonding to resist tension. The long-term durability of Roman concrete structures was found to be due to the presence of pyroclastic or volcanic rock and ash in the concrete mix. The crystallization of stratlingite, a complex calcium aluminosis. Complex calcium aluminosilicate hydrate. There it is. During the formation of the concrete and its merging with similar calcium aluminum silicate hydrate structures. That's four words hyphenated. Structures helped give the Roman concrete a greater degree of fracture resistance compared to modern concrete. In addition, Roman concrete is significantly more resistant to erosion by seawater than modern concrete. The aforementioned pyroclastic materials react with seawater to form... what the fuck is that? It's like weirdly AI... No, what is this word? Hang on. Fuck, it's like separated weird. Altabermorite crystals over time. Altabermorite? Let's just call it that. Altabermorite. The use of hot mixing in preparation of concrete leading to the formation of lime clasts in the final production has been proposed to give the Roman concrete a self-healing ability, which is fucking awesome. The widespread use of concrete in many Roman structures ensure that many survive to the present day. For example, the baths of Caracalla in Rome are just one example. Many Roman aqueducts and bridges, such as the magnificent Pont du Grand in southern France, have masonry cladding on a concrete core, as does the Dome of the Pantheon. Cool. Is anyone else getting bored? I'm actually really bored reading this. I'm going to finish it, though. Middle Ages. After the Roman Empire, the use of burned lime in pozzolana was greatly reduced. Low kiln temperatures in the burning of lime, lack of pozzolana, and poor mixing and all contributed to a decline in the quality of concrete and mortar. From the 11th century, the increased use of stone in church and castle construction led to an increased demand for mortar. Quality began to improve in the 12th century, though, through better grinding and sieving. Medieval lime mortars and concretes were non-hydraulic and were used in binding masonry, heating or binding rubber masonry cores and foundations. Jesus, one of these names. Bartholomew Aegletius, in his... A book he wrote describes the making of mortar. In an English translation from... Thank you. In an English translation from 1397, it reads, lime is a stone brent by... What the fuck? That's not English. By meddling thereof with sond and water cement is made. That's not English. From the 14th century, the quality of mortar was again excellent, but only from the 17th century was pozzolana commonly added. That is a cool-ass picture. Oh, the industrial era, finally. Maybe we can get some shit I can actually read. Perhaps the greatest step forward in the modern use of concrete was Smeaton's Tower. What a funny name. Built by British engineer John Smeaton, there it is, in Devon, England, between 1756 and 1759. Fucking bet the thing's still up. Let me see. It's still up. I knew it. That's crazy. Like, immediately, I just clicked the link. It was open. It's like, still brand new. It's still brand new. Holy shit. 1700. Still up. This third Eddystone lighthouse pioneered the use of hydraulic lime in concrete, using pebbles and powdered brick as aggregate. A method of producing Portland cement was developed in England and patented by Joseph Aspdin in 1824. Aspdin chose the name for its similarly... Aspdin chose a name for it, similarly to Portland stone, which was quarried on the island of Portland in Dorset, England. His son William continued development in the 1840s, earning him recognition for the development of modern Portland cement. I always thought Portland cement was from Portland, like Oregon, you know? It's not that far from me, it's north of here. I think I just doxed myself by accident. Anyway, reinforced concrete was invented in 1849 by Joseph Monnier. I like that name. And the first reinforced concrete house was built by François Coignet in 1853. The first concrete reinforced building was designed by and built by Joseph Monnier in 1875. Pre-stressed concrete and post-tensioned concrete were pioneered by Eugène Freycinet, a French structural and civil engineer. Concrete components or structures are compressed by tendon cables during or after their fabrication in order to strengthen their against tensile forces developing when put in service. Freycinet painted the technique and patented the technique on the 2nd of October of 1928. Holy shit, that's pretty recent. All things considered, that's pretty... I do not want to keep going. I'm sorry. Look, I know that... That dude did it for hours. I got 30 minutes in. I'm like, dude, I'm done. I know a lot of people love to learn about structural shit, but like, honestly, that was... It's because I work with the stuff that I'm like, I'm bored of it, you know? Like, if I told you 3/8 aggregate crush, do you know what that means? I hauled 75 tons of that shit today.
How about we look up the rest? How about we do the rest by bricks? Everyone loves bricks. I fucking love bricks. Do you fuck with bricks? I fuck with bricks. A brick is a type of building material used to build walls, pavements, and other elements in masonry construction. Properly, the term brick denotes a unit primarily composed of clay, but that is now also used informally to denote buildings made of other materials or other chemically cured construction blocks. I did not know that. Wait, what's this? A wall construction in glaze-heated Flemish bond brickwood pattern in various shades and lengths. That's so cool. I've never seen a brick house where every single brick's a different type. Huh. Bricks can be joined using mortar, adhesives, or by interlocking. The interlocking method's interesting, actually. My grandfather in the old country had an entire fence that he made with no mortar or brick. Plenty of bricks, right? However, in lack of mortar, he decided this is an old country. This is how we do it. He interlocked the bricks, and he did it for a mile. It was a huge fence, and I admire him. I wish I knew him more, you know? I really wish I did before he passed away. But the fact that he made all that, and he would deconstruct it to open it. Like, one part of it, he'd be like, this brick here is what you move first, and then he would slowly remove them. Instead of building a fence, he just took the fucking thing down. It's actually pretty cool. But again, you know, I miss him. Good memories there. Anyway, let's see here. Bricks are usually produced at brickworks or numerous classes. Bricks are usually produced at brickworks in numerous classes, types, materials, and sizes, which vary with region, and are produced in bulk quantities. Bulk or block. I'm tired. Block is a similar term referring to a rectangular building unit composed of clay or concrete, but is usually larger than a brick. Lightweight bricks, also called lightweight blocks, are made of expanded clay aggregate. What the hell's aggregate? That looks so cool. There are pictures on Wikipedia. You really should be looking this shit up because it's honestly pretty cool. Fired bricks are one of the longest lasting and strongest building materials, sometimes referred to as artificial stone, and has been used since 400 BC. Air-dried, holy shit, that's fucking crazy. Air-dried bricks, also known as mud bricks, have a history older than fired bricks and have additional ingredients of a mechanical binder, such as straw. Now, the same grandfather that built that stone fence that with the interlocking bricks built his house out of mud brick with straw, by the way. He'd get grass, he'd make sure it's nice and dry, and he'd bind it like that. It made it stronger. I don't know how, but the house is still up to this day. Keep in mind, this was made like 100 years ago. My grandfather was pretty old, not gonna lie. You want to know how long they last in the old country? My great-grandma was still alive when I went to go visit. She was 100. Like, actually, like, 100. And she lived so much longer than that. I was 8 years old when I visited. I was 18 when she died. So, damn, I don't know what they're eating over there. It's all natural. It's because they live in a hilly area, so they're always walking. They're always doing cardio. They're always healthy. It's insane. It's actually impressive. Bricks are laid in courses in numerous patterns, known as bonds, collectively known as brickwork, and may be laid in various kinds of mortar to hold the bricks together to make a durable structure. The history of bricks. Middle Eastern and South Asia. The earliest bricks were dried mud bricks, meaning that they were formed from clay-bearing earth or mud and dried, usually in the sun, until they were strong enough to use. The oldest discovered bricks, originally made from shaped mud and dating before 7500 BC, were found at Tel Aswald in the upper Tigris region and in southern Anatolia, close to Diyarbakir. Where's that at? Mud brick construction was used at, son of a bitch, Kataliyuk. Yeah, I think that's that one. It was used at Kataliyuk from 7400 BC. Mud brick structures dating to 7200 BC have been located in Jericho, Jordan Valley. These structures were made up of the first bricks with dimensions of 400 millimeters by 150 millimeters by 100 millimeters, 16 inches by 6 inches by 4 inches. Huh. Between 5000 and 4500 BC, Mesopotamia had discovered fired brick. The standard brick size in the Mesopotamia followed a general rule.
The width of the dried or burned brick would be twice its thickness, and its length would be doubled its width. I'm struggling to picture that.
I'm done reading the Wikipedia article, I'm going to be totally honest. I cannot do this no more. How about instead we read crime statistics? Okay, I'm pulling it up now. Ingredients, water. Oh, sorry, this is my hand sanitizer. Why would the fuck would I read statistics of any kind? I'm not a nerd. Yes, I am. What am I saying? You know what people should start fucking doing? I just thought of this. You know how, like, you'll get some religious friend, they'll randomly open the Bible to a passage, read a little bit of it, and then, like, look at you like it's a really deep shit. Like, it's a real deep thing. And the Lord said, he opens the book randomly, and he just starts reading. Like, that's not how the Lord works, but fuck, whatever, dude. How about this? And Sisyphus said... See, you hear that? If you don't hear that, I'm turning a book. The Myth of Sisyphus, the one I called fucking boring earlier. It is. It's a snooze fest. I read this shit to go to bed, and I have nightmares when I wake up. Anyway. Oh, ow, my neck. As Sisyphus said, or as, what's this one? As Albert Camus once said, let me repeat, none of all this has any real meaning on the... That's a fucking dark one to start with. Oh, shit. Let me repeat. None of this has any real meaning. Fuck. Okay, let me keep reading. I'm going to finish this paragraph. On the way to that liberty, there is still a progress to be made. The final effort for these related minds, creator or conqueror, is to manage to free themselves also from their undertakings, succeed in granting that the very work, whether it be conquest, love, or creation, may well not be consummate. Thus, the utter futility of any individual life. Jesus, Albert. Indeed, that gives him more freedom in the realization of that work. Just as becoming aware of the absurdity of life authorized him to plunge into it with every excess. Amen? I don't know what the fuck they'd say after reading Albert Camus. Look, the Myth of Sisyphus is one thing, right? But there's other stories in there. I don't know what the fuck I just read. I don't know what I just read. Look, I closed the book, put it away. I don't know what book that was. There are other poems in the book. I don't know what I actually read. Okay? My girlfriend just made the best fucking hot cocoa right now. With green tea? Earl Grey tea. And hot coke was so fucking good. Thanks, babe. Oh, my God. That's why I have so much energy now. And I could also think clearly. I could see clearly now. The rain has gone. Why was it raining? Nobody questions the fucking song. Hi-ya. You know, that song's really weird with the lyrics. Shake, shake, shake it like a Polaroid. You're not supposed to do that to Polaroids. Fucking hate that. Every time I take a picture, I have a Polaroid, right? One of the classic ones. The film's not cheap. Anyway, every time I take a picture of a Polaroid, I people are like, can I shake it? No. No, you cannot. You're supposed to put it in a dark room, or what I do is I put it in my pocket, facing down to my stomach. You're not supposed to squeeze it when it's doing that, otherwise you could fuck it up. I had pictures that I purposely fucked up for the aesthetic reasons, for aesthetic choice. Man, I love Polaroids. I'm not even joking. I don't know how to destroy them once you have them. So if you take a picture of a Polaroid and it didn't come out right, it's permanent, pretty much. I don't know if you could take like a magnet to it or something. How can you fuck up a Polaroid intentionally? I have some pictures I gotta get rid of. Not any nefarious ones, but like some that have already come up overexposed or something. Something I can actually fuck with. Kind of like when I first started the podcast, or when I was like a few years into the podcast, I had a Polaroid obsession. You guys remember that, right? I had so many fucking Polaroids. I still have them. It's mostly pictures of my family now. Me and the missus. Thanksgiving dinner the other day. It was nice, you know? But I'm not going to be sharing that on the podcast because, you know, respect my privacy. Damn. Having said that, what the fuck is this episode of the podcast? We read Wikipedia articles and talked about schizo posting. I mean, Jesus Christ. It was everywhere today. I like when I go off the rails a bit. And also, I am sorry that last episode was only 30 minutes long. I know a lot of people didn't listen to it, and I don't mind, you know? I understand. You gotta understand, that was a Christmas, like, not Christmas, it was Thanksgiving, right? Of course I was gonna
speed through it, basically. I didn't want to sit in this recording studio and talk about stuff while the family was in the other room, right? We had stuff to do. Sorry. I have a question for all of you. Every single one of you. Do it. Let me look around, make sure no one's hearing. Do it. Do it. Do it. Bounce. Do it, jiggle. Ow, fuck. I'm moving the microphone around. I'm doing that thing I do where I do things. I have a painting that I'm working on, and I have another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. I really gotta fucking finish one, dude. I have one that I've had for a while. I don't know how to finish it. It's a huge canvas, right? Shit's like 3 feet wide. But the thing is, I just don't know how to finish it, right? Because there's this tiny detail, and I kind of hinted at it 2 years ago now. A year ago. Fuck, this the beginning of this year, actually. I zoomed in on the tiniest tree, no bigger than half of my fucking thumbnail. Literally half my fucking thumbnail. I painted a tree that small. The second biggest one's the size of the rest of my fingers. But I'm thinking of just saying fuck it and like, because the canvas has room, right? Making a giant tree, just taking up the entire left half of it. Because there's also this nasty ass rock that I painted just because I fucked up a house so badly. I decided to cover it with a rock, and the rock's ugly too. So I don't know how to paint rocks. Okay, there's a thing I learned, right? Where you're, as an artist, you're supposed to do stuff that you're not good at. The funny part is, I kind of jumped the gun. Years ago, I think I was like 16, I always heard from artists that, hey, painting hands is really difficult. Imagine my surprise when I painted hands and I fucking nailed it. Like, the fingers, the thumbs, all of the sizes were correct. He was gripping a knife with, like, his thumb really well, held, holding it. It was, like, a very, the fuck was I drawing again? I don't know, some weird stuff. You know how people you see online, oh, this is my OC. Yeah, I was that guy. For a little bit. I guess it was just at the time. You know, I was a fucking kid. The moment I turned, like, 17, I was like, stop. This is stupid. I mean, more power to you if you're painting your own stuff, but characters, I don't care for. I prefer scenic landscapes, because when it comes to characters, people get weird about it. I fucking hate that. Okay, here's what I fucking hate. Here's the reason I don't want to associate with art community of any kind online. The moment you paint a character, there's going to be someone inevitably trying to fuck it. It's a drawing. It's a painting. Stop trying to fuck the drawing. It's weird. Don't ask me to put big tits on it. It's a dude. Or, you know, whatever. Dude, like, the people are going to be weirdly horny online. I fucking hate it. Like, for some reason, there's a lot of money in drawing lewd stuff, and I'm not going to do it. But damn, is it tempting. You know? What do you mean this furry commissioned you for $72,000 for this piece of crap, you know? Like, there was that guy that... There was that... Fuck, I forgot about that. This guy years ago, everyone was clowning on him because he wasted thousands of his own dollars to commission himself with a character basically chasing him in a music video. It was so embarrassing, dude. It was so embarrassing. When it came out, people had receipts. They were like, yeah, this guy paid me like fucking 50 grand to make a little music video where this girl's chasing after him. Nowhere in the music video do they actually do anything. She's just chasing him. That's the whole like fantasy, I guess. It's fucking weird, dude. It's fucking weird. What I remember is he was so embarrassed by that shit. This is the same guy that was in the... He was a meme. He was a popular meme. He was like, no. I can't do it. Fuck. The one who beatboxed really well. I think he did the beatboxing Thanos meme from like 5 years ago. But yeah, that guy that made that art and he made the whole like characters like beatboxing against others. Like the reason he fell off is because he was caught basically paying thousands of dollars for a weird ass animation where he's getting chased. That's not even uncommon, the amount of money that was thrown at that. But I don't want any part of that shit, you know? That's why I stopped painting characters when I was a kid, man. Now as an adult, I'm painting landscapes, weird ass fucking art. I don't care. I'd rather paint weird art than some weird lewd shit, okay? I'm not taking the lewd pill, whatever the fuck that means. I was going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. Obviously, you could tell I had no idea what I was talking about this week. The holidays have been taking up my mind, and we've been planning a lot of stuff. I'm an adult now. I have the house, so we do have to, you know, plan stuff out. And sometimes the leaves on the trees in the front yard all start falling to the ground. You got to rake them up. Holy shit, I forgot to do that today. Oh my God. Fuck. Oh God, I got to do that again. Also, the YouTube channel's been growing, so I've been focusing on that. Look, I've been learning about the algorithm. Once you reach a certain threshold, they just start telling you what to do. Anyway, I'll see you guys in the next 2 weeks. Merry Christmas if I don't catch you in time. And happy holidays for those that don't celebrate Christmas. All right, see you guys.